I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. Would you bow with me for a moment this morning? Father, I want to say thank you again for your word. I want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have been working in our life, elevating the word to the place that it is meant to be. This morning, Father, before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession of my mind and my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you've given, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the seed that is going to be sown. I command you to be silent. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you are speaking through your Logos word, and I thank you that you speak through your Rhema word. That today you are going to be saying things that are not going to come out of my mouth. Your children are going to hear them. They're going to know it's you. They will capture them and be obedient to it. Father, your sheep are hearing your voice. And by faith, I say thank you for what you are going to impart today. And I declare, when your word goes forth, it does not return void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. And by faith, I say thank you in advance. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody who's ready said, amen. Please be seated. Several weeks ago, we began a series of messages called, Oh, How I Love Your Word. That was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Out of Psalm 119, the very beginning, verse 7, verse 97, where David says, Oh, how I love your word. We began talking about how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, bringing the word of God to a place in our life where it is meant to be. Back to the place where God wants it in us as children of God, for the word to be preeminent in our life. The first message, we talked about those things that God used in my life in order for me to fall in love and bring me to that place of saying, God, I love your word. The week after that, we talked about the design of the enemy to make what is supposed to be holy common, and to bring the word of God back from being common into that place of holy. Last week, we talked about the whole revelation that the word of God is actually the sword of the Spirit of God. The word is the sword spirit that the Spirit uses to accomplish in our life and through our life what God is wanting to do. I gotta ask you this morning, how many of you were here last week for that message? How many of you were here? Yep. If you weren't here, I want to encourage you again to go online. And the messages are on there. I want to encourage you to have a listen to it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through that. There is only two more messages in this series, today and next week. And I've said it before, but I got to tell you, next week we're going to be looking at the whole area of the Word becoming flesh. And I am very excited about sharing with you what God has laid on my heart in that whole area, especially as we celebrate Christmas. But today I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit is asking me to impart to you. And I want to tell you right up at the very front that this message is going to be incomplete. I'm not going to finish it today. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start it, I'm going to introduce it, and I'm going to leave it open at the end, because I believe that what God is going to begin today is going to carry on and carry on and carry on in your life, in my life, I believe, until we lift off the ground. So you need to know that I am not completing this today. I am beginning this today. Just so that you're aware. One of the things that, and I want to just tell you, as we become students of the Word instead of just casual visitors, and let me just say that again. As we become students, instead of just every now and then visiting and dabbling with the word in our life, the Holy Spirit is going to continue to open up our hearts and minds to see kingdom truths that will literally transform our lives into the image of Christ and move us from glory to glory to glory to glory. I gotta just tell you, and I know that many of you are in this place, the days that we are living in today, I believe the Word of God is doing something in the lives of people as they are hungry for it, as they are spending time, as they are in it, as they are looking for direction and counsel, as people are seeking, going, God, I don't want to be deceived by what's going on out there. And the only way to keep that from happening is to be grounded in your Word. I want to tell you that I believe there is a revival of the Word going on in the church all around the world today. And I would just say to you, don't miss it. If the Spirit of God is working in you, giving you a hunger for the Word, getting up in the morning, you're thinking about it, don't dismiss it going, oh, I should, but I don't feel like it. Do it. That is the Spirit drawing you in, preparing you, grounding you for what's coming. And I believe we are in a revival of the Word going on. I want to tell you what you know. The last thing that the enemy wants in our lives, his goal is to keep you and I and every other person out there veiled so that we can't see it, we don't understand it, the lights never go on, because then instead of being transformed by the renewing of our mind, if that's not happening, the other is, and then we are being conformed to the image of this world. Can I tell you, only one of two things is happening in your life. Either you're being conformed to the world or you're being transformed into the image of God. I'm in one of those two categories. You are in one of those two categories. If you're not being transformed, you are being conformed. The last thing the enemy wants is for you and I to be changed into the image of Christ. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I think I know the answer. How many of you have ever heard the statement, "What you don't know won't hurt you"? How many of you have ever heard that? Yeah. How many of you have ever taken the time to find out what the source of that is? Where that came from? I got to tell you, and I didn't Google it because I didn't need to Google it. You want to find out, you want to look at that. You just kind of look at the bottom. The name of the author is often very small behind some of those statements. I looked in the Spirit whose name was behind that. And can I tell you what I found in there? Right at the very bottom, the name was Father of Lies. Father of Lies. He is the one who said, "What you don't know won't hurt you." And I got to tell you, I hear that quoted over and over and over. I hear it from some family who just want to put their head in the sand and not think about or know what's coming down the pike. I hear that from people who should know better. I don't want to know that. I don't need to know that. And if I don't know it, it won't hurt me. Can I tell you? That is a lie that was birthed in the pit of hell. And even the church, much of the church has drank that Kool-Aid. I got to tell you, Satan himself, and the Lord and I kind of had fun as I was going through this, what the Lord brought to my mind is it's like Satan was working for CNN. Or he was a Democratic press secretary standing in front of millions of people, speaking it out over the airwaves to millions like it was truth. And yet it was dripping lie. I don't know if you've ever thought about the enemy working for CNN. But I want to tell you, knowing that what you don't know has the ability to not just hurt you, but it can kill you, and not just physically, but spiritually for eternity, what you don't know can have an eternal effect on your life. I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to share with you some things the enemy doesn't want you and I to know. And if you don't know these will hurt you. I will never forget being at a believers conference one year, and Kenneth Copeland was speaking. He asked the question, he said, all of you know John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He goes, I have come. Jesus said this, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. But then Kenneth Copeland looked at us and he said, let me ask you, he said, what is it that the enemy comes to steal? He said, what is it? And he said, don't be so general out there. He goes, narrow it down. He says, what is it the enemy comes to steal in a person's life? And 11, 12,000 of us were in there and we were all thinking, and it's kind of a setup. It's like when God asks you a question, you know he knows the answer. I knew Ken knew the answer, right? He's waiting for us. Some things were out there. And eventually he looked and he said, I'll tell you. He said, the enemy who comes only to steal, he comes to steal the word. He goes, that is what he is about. He comes to steal the word. Because if he can steal the word and keep it from ever doing what the word does in a person's life, it will kill you in this life and the next life. He said, that's his goal. The thief comes only to steal the word. And let me ask you why. I want to give you five things this morning as we begin unfolding this. And again, these five are not complete. There is a 6, 7, 8, 9, 39, 59, 82. It goes down the line. Those the Holy Spirit's going to work on you with. You'll understand it when we get there. I want to begin with number one. These aren't in any specific order, but I'm going to give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me. Would you write down, number one, what the enemy doesn't want you to know? Number one, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It'll be on the screen. He knows with terrifying certainty what most people ever don't think about. What does he know that he doesn't want you and I to know or even to think about with seriousness? It's this. He knows the Word of God is living and it is active. He knows that. Sharper than a two-edged sword. He knows that it penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. He knows that. No wonder he doesn't want anybody to know the Word of God or to be exposed to it. Because he knows it's alive. He knows it will affect a person. He knows it will reveal things. He knows it'll turn on the light. Can you imagine for a second, if we truly got a grasp of the truth that the enemy, he already knows, the enemy knows and he is terrified of it, that the word is a living word. Can you ever imagine if we could get a grasp of that? And let me ask you, what makes it living? What makes it living? It is God's word who is living. God breathed and the Holy Spirit empowered it. Let me tell you how living it is. Let me tell you. Do you realize that Satan, before he was Satan, who was Satan before he was Satan? Who was he? Lucifer, highest worship angel in the heaven, archangel, right? We know that. Before Satan was Satan, when he was still Lucifer, the archangel, at creation, I want you to get this, Lucifer observed, along with all of the angelic host, God the Father communicating to Jesus what he wanted, Jesus speaking out the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit going and accomplishing the will. Let me just say, God said, let there be light, and there was. Who observed it? Lucifer saw when the word of God went forth, life, active, power, creation. I got to tell you, sometimes I think in the church, we don't witness enough. When the word goes forth, boom! I love that song. And I tell you, the first time we sang it, when it was introduced in worship, the first time, when I open up my mouth, miracles start pouring out. When we sang that the first time, I'll tell you, I was gripped in my spirit. I had tears in my eyes. And I said, God, I want that. I want more of that. You got to give me a revelation when I open my mouth and your words are coming forth. Miracle, miracle. stuff is happening. The enemy has got us to a place, even in the church, where we speak and we don't expect anything. We pray and we don't expect anything. We bless and we don't expect anything. We curse and we don't expect things to die. Can I tell you? Lucifer knows the power of the Word of God when it goes forth. He watched it in 6 days. He watched the entire world be created. Universes be created because the Word was alive, active, powerful, creative. Can I tell you? The Word of God scares the hell out of them. It should scare the heaven into us. The enemy watched it. Let there be light. It was done. Let there be land. It was done. Let there be trees. It was done. Let there be animals. It was done. Let's create man. It was done. Let's create woman. He watched it. He watched the Word living, active, powerful. And I want to tell you, whether spoken by Jesus at creation, we know this, there was nothing created that Jesus did not create. Jesus did it. Jesus spoke it. Or the Rhema word of the Holy Spirit that is spoken to us and through us now, or the Logos word, God breathed it, it was captured, it was put into print, we've got it in book. Can I tell you, the enemy knows with terrifying certainty, and he doesn't want you and I to know it, and if we know it, not to believe it, that word goes forth with life, with power. Can you imagine if we ever got a revelation that word is living? I sometimes think the enemy duped us into believing COVID-19 had more power than the Word of God. People walked in greater fear of that lie, and they missed the reverence of this truth. What else does he want us to know? What would you write down, number two? Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Apart from faith, there can be no relationship with God. Let me say it again. Apart from faith, there can be no relationship with God. Don't tell me there is one big ocean and many rivers that run to it. Don't tell me that every God out there is the same God. They just have different names. Don't tell me that. Because either the Word of God is true or it is a lie. If the Word of God is true, apart from faith, there is no relationship with God. Can I tell you, the enemy knows Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? He knows without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He knows that there has to be faith in God to have relationship with God. And he knows the only way that faith comes into a person's life is how? By hearing. Faith comes by hearing. That's how we first got it. Let me just tell you, many of us got it from our mom and dads growing up. If you had a mom and dad who had faith and they imparted to you as a kid, just say praise God. If your parents are alive, go home and tell them, thank you, mom and dad. Hearing it in Sunday school, some of us went to Sunday school, we heard it, faith came and we entered a relationship with Christ. Some of us got it off Billy Graham on the TV. Do you know that Jesse Duplantis got saved by watching Billy Graham on TV? That was his birthday. After a concert, he goes into his room, hotel room, turns on the TV, too tired to change the channel. Some guy's talking on there. It happened to be Billy Graham. Something captured him. He listened to it. He prayed the prayer of salvation with Billy Graham on the TV that night. Jesse Duplantis. Does faith come by hearing? My wife at 14 years of age, riding a bus from Southgate to downtown Edmonton, picked up a track, you know it, picked up the track on the bus, began reading the track, and as she was reading that track, the Holy Spirit was speaking to her. Faith came by hearing. She prayed the prayer of salvation on the bus that day at 14 years of age. Faith come by hearing. Somebody grabbed their friend and took him to youth group because the friend is a pagan, and this is my friend, but I go to youth group. It's fun. You got to come. They went along. They got to youth group. Somebody was bold enough to have a Bible study, talk about Jesus, provide opportunity to pray, and this friend, they heard, they and prayed to receive Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. Somebody went to a hotel room, checked all the channels on TV, and there was nothing good on there. So they shut it off. They opened up the drawer. Here there happened to be a Gideon's Bible. They opened up the Bible. They began reading. They didn't care. They just flipped it open, right? They began reading. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began speaking through the Word. And in the hotel room with that Bible, faith came by hearing. By the way, under Muslim ownership, the Norseman Inn is removing all the Bibles from their rooms. Hearing while you're having coffee with a friend, sharing their faith across the coffee table, they're talking to you, telling you about their life, about their faith, about what happened. Faith came by hearing. That friend goes, I need to do that. And right there in the coffee shop, prayed to receive Christ. I tell you that some of my most beautiful memories. Praying with people in a coffee shop. You know, when someone wants to know Christ, they don't give a hoot who's around. They don't care. Or hearing it from a Christmas Eve service. Once a year, they show up at church. And when they come, don't judge them. When they come, you pray for them. You pray that service, what happens, those little kids, the Christmas story, singing the carol, faith comes by hearing. And at the end of that, whether it's a Christmas banquet and providing opportunity to pray to receive Christ, or a Christmas Eve service, as faith comes, they hear. And let me tell you what you already know. Faith comes when you hear it for the first time and you get saved. But as a believer, faith comes by hearing over and over and over and over and over again. Let me tell you this. Faith came to me this morning when I got up and spent time in the Word of God before coming to church today. Faith came to me. The Holy Spirit took the Word. I was hearing it. My faith increased. Can I tell you this? My faith grew from the time I got up until I got to church this morning because I heard. I planted myself in a spot where I heard. Faith is coming to you right now. As the Word is going to you, faith is coming. The Spirit's taking it, building faith inside of you. And as a believer, your faith. I want to tell you, faith is going to come to some of you when you're listening to a podcast later this afternoon. God laid it on your heart, you turned it on, you're listening to a message or a program, whatever. Faith is going to come to you because you're hearing and your faith is growing. Can I tell you, faith is going to come when you pick up that book and someone is sharing about their faith, their journey, their testimony, you're reading it, your faith is growing. If faith comes by hearing, and my faith grows every time I hear, and I am choosing to hear every day in so many ways, I'll tell you, my faith is going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. No wonder the enemy doesn't want me to know that. No wonder the enemy makes me think that, you know what, I can go for a day and not be in the Word, or a week and not be in the Word, and I don't have to listen. I don't even have to go to church. You know, I don't even have to go to church anymore, and I'm still okay. Can I tell you, somebody said faith is like an airplane. If you're not going forward, you're going down. And if I do know it, but I don't believe it, and choose not to practice it, I want to tell you, the enemy doesn't want you to know or believe or practice that faith comes by hearing. Can I ask you a question? If we really believed that, would we live tomorrow the same way we lived yesterday? Think about it. Let's look at another one. Would you write down number 3? John chapter 8, verse 32. I think almost everybody knows this off by heart in here. You may not know the address, but you know it. As soon as I say it, you'll know it. What is it? John 8, 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. The question is, set you free from what? I will never forget many years ago reading through the 2 most powerful books that I have ever read in my life. Burn every other book on the planet. Victory Over the Darkness, Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. I would save those 2. Burn every other book other than the Bible out there. Those are the 2 I would save. When Neil Anderson made the statement that leapt off the page into my spirit, he said this: the only power that Satan has is the power of the lie. That's the only power. If we don't believe the lie, he has no power. If we believe the lie, he's got power. What is it Jesus said about the enemy? John 8:44, he said this. He goes, the enemy, he goes, he's the father of lies. He was a liar in the beginning. He speaks according to his own nature. His nature is a liar nature. Can I tell you, there are some people in this world that is their nature. They are just liars by nature. That's the enemy's nature. And when we believe the lie, that lie puts us in bondage. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what it is. The lie, a failure. Oh, I failed? That makes me a failure. Lie from the pit of hell. Fear. Oh, my feelings are telling me the truth. Ever believe that one? How about sin? I have done something so bad, I can't be forgiven for that one. I'll never forget hearing that 70% of the people in the psychiatric ward are Christians who believe they've committed the unforgivable sin. I love talking to them because I go, if you're alive, you haven't committed that sin yet. You got to be dead to have committed it. Health. Oh, I'm sick and I'm going to be sick. And the doctor told me I'm going to be on this medication until I die. I'm going to have to do that. And I believe it. Shame. Oh, what I have done defines me. It defines me. Serious? I thought it was what Jesus did that defines me. Condemnation. I will be judged for doing that, and all the wrong that's going on in my life is God's judgment on my life because of what I... Do you know how many Christians even believe that crap? Money. Let me tell you, money is the root of all evil. Do you know how many Christians believe that? Isn't it amazing how the enemy just plucks one little word out and quotes scripture and we believe it like it's truth, as compared to going, the love of money, the passion for money, the pursuit of money, the mammon spirit is the root of evil. Money's a tool. And in the hands of the Holy Spirit, does powerful kingdom work. Unless I believe the lie. Oh, here's a good one. God. He doesn't love me. How could he? If God knew what I know about me, he couldn't love me because I don't love me. I believed that lie for years. Because like you, I did some pretty bad stuff. Those lies are what we call strongholds, demonic strongholds. We are born with lies, and then the enemy continues to lie. I want to just draw this for you. Those of you who took the inner healing, you will know this picture. Here's a picture of the mind. and all of these are beliefs in our mind. We are born with a fallen nature in spite of Van Getty's angels. Every one of the strongholds in our minds are lies. We're not born with a mind that's totally truthful. Only one person was done that way, Jesus. He was born. Every stronghold, every thought, every belief in his mind was the truth. You and I are born with L's, all lies. Nobody has to teach you to be evil, selfish, bad. Nobody has to teach you that. Just let you go on your own and it's all going to manifest. So here's the deal. If I am full of all lies or demonic strongholds, and I will never forget this, born with lies, more lies come. What the enemy knows is that if we are exposed to the truth, if someone shares the truth with us, the power of this truth has the ability to break through, expose the lie, replace the lie with the truth, and now we begin to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. Here's the whole process. Every lie replaced with truth until every one of them is true, and then we have the mind of who? Christ. The mind of Christ has every T inside of it. Can I tell you, you can be a believer and have two or three truths and all of the rest be demonically controlled by lies. And there's a pile of believers like that. Have no victory, have no joy, have no freedom. I will never forget years ago when the Lord said to me, and I'll never forget this. The Lord said to me, he says, every area of your life where you're not experiencing freedom, it's because you're missing a truth. Every area of your life where you are not experiencing freedom, it's because you're missing a truth. Can I tell you? I became a seeker of truth. The question is, in this world, where do you find truth? Pilate asked it, what is truth? Let me tell you what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, you hold to my teachings, you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Can I tell you? God's word is true. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what CNN says. I don't care what our parliament says. I don't care. The word of God is true. The word exposes the lie. God gives us the power and the ability to choose truth, believe the truth, replace the lie. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. And when God's word, his truth, becomes our stronghold, our belief, can I tell you? We become free here. We become free here. We become free here. Every T, we have freedom. Every L, we are in bondage to the lie. Let me give you just a couple more. Would you write down number four? Would you write Psalm 119, verse 11? Psalm 119, verse 11. For some of you, this is the only one you need to hear today because areas of sin have such strong hold on you. It's like you can't break. You can't stop doing what you're doing. You can't stop watching. You can't stop it. This is what the enemy doesn't want you to know. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin. Can I tell you, there is a correlation between the word in me and the ability to resist sin. Do you believe that? Are you telling me that if I have more word in me, I have greater ability to resist temptation when it comes? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Last week we looked at Jesus in the wilderness when the enemy came to him, tempted him three times. Every time he responded this way, it is written, it is written, it is written. The Apostle Paul said this, every one of us are going to be tempted. That's the given, 1 Corinthians 10. Every one of us are going to be tempted. But God has provided a way of escape so we don't have to sin. And what is that? Jesus had the word hidden in his heart. The temptation came. Holy Spirit brought the word to Jesus' mind, empowered him to speak it, the word of God. He said to Satan, it is written. He resisted the enemy, and the enemy did what? I wish I could tell you that just because you're a believer, when you resist the enemy, he'll flee from you. The enemy laughs at piles of believers because they don't know how to resist him. They don't have the word to pull up. It's not coming out of their mouth. They don't recognize the power of the word in order to stop the temptation of the enemy or a demon. They don't understand that. And so because of that, the temptation comes, they eat it. Oh! They eat it. They knew they shouldn't have, but they ate it because they couldn't resist it. I could list you 50 things. We could just go down the list. Not going to do that. Without the word in our heart, how do we resist? Without the word in our heart, what does Holy Spirit have to draw from? Without the word in our heart, how am I going to say when the enemy comes, it is written, devil, it is written, demon? If I don't have the word, how can I say it? Without the word in our heart, it will not come to mind. It will not come out of our mouth. We will not be able to resist. We will sin. The enemy doesn't want you and I to know the word. I'll just tell you straight up. He doesn't want us to know it. He doesn't want it to plant it in our heart because he knows the word is what the Holy Spirit uses to empower us to resist, to walk in victory and victory and victory. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Colossians says this, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Not sparsely, not periodically, not dabbling. Let the word of God dwell in you. Jeremiah says this, I took his word and I ate it. I took his word and I ate it. Last one. Would you write down number 5, Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. The first temptation the enemy came to Jesus with, 40 days of fasting. How many of you, by the way, and not have in the past fasted, how many of you fast as part of your Christian walk now? Fasting as part of your Christian walk. Yeah, there's a handful. Can I tell you, years ago, fasting was as important as praying. That's another one of those areas where the enemy has just brought the church to a point where it's an incredibly powerful. Someone, and I got to tell you from me, I heard someone say this week, they said, I have never experienced anything like fasting in my life. I'll tell you for me, nothing has grown my faith more than fasting and prayer. Nothing. I don't know if any of you have ever fasted 40 days. Let me tell you, in the spirit, you won't die. But after 40 days of fasting, the enemy knows that food might be a temptation. Can I just say that to you? It might be. I have to tell you, though, coming out of 40 days of fasting, there was part of me that was going, you know what, I don't want to eat. Because I don't want to break what I have experienced with the Lord. I don't want that to change. I don't want eating. And I prayed, God, don't let me getting back into the pattern of eating change the intimacy that happened in that 40. I had to eat. I did. End of 40 days. The enemy knows food. So he came to Jesus and he said this. He said, if you're the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Can I ask you, if the Father would have said to Jesus, Jesus, tell that stone to turn into bread, do you think it would have turned into bread? Huh. Boom! Like that. Five loaves and two fishes. About 18 or 20,000 people Jesus fed with five loaves and two fishes. He spoke to them. Boop, 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 boop. Just watch Chosen. It's pretty cool how it happens. A fig tree. He walks up to a fig tree. He speaks to it. And the fig tree begins dying instantly from the root up. A paralytic. 30-some years laying. Some of us have been at the Pool of Bethesda. Some of us saw the place. We walked in there. 30-some years, the guy's laying there totally paralyzed. Jesus speaks a word. The guy stands up, takes his pallet on the Sabbath, and he walks out of there. The religious criticize him because he's carrying a pallet on the Sabbath. How religious is that? Here's my favorite. Who's the guy who was dead for 4 days and he's already stinking? Lazarus, come forth! And what do you do? I find this funny though. If the Father would have said to Jesus, Jesus, just speak to the stone and it'll roll away, you think it would have rolled? Why don't you think the Father said to Jesus, tell the stone to roll? You know, I believe there was part of that. He goes, disciple, you roll that stone away, I'll do the rest. Can I tell you this? Jesus had the power to speak to that stone and turn it to bread. He had the power. You know what he didn't have? The authority from the Father. If he would have done it because Satan said, if you're the Son of God, if you really have the power, do this, he would have done it under Satan's authority, not under the Father's authority. That would have been sin. He'd have been disqualified from the cross. Don't tell me he didn't have the power. He had the power. He didn't have the authority. Satan watched Jesus do it under his authority. If he would have done it, if Jesus would have done it, he would have sinned. But look at what Jesus said again. He said, Satan, it is written. And this is what he said. Man does not live by bread alone. I want to ask you a question. Where did Jesus get that from? He got it from the Bible. Jesus actually quoted the Bible because the Bible was the Word of God, so he could quote the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brought it to him and said, Jesus, I want you to quote Deuteronomy 8. Jesus said to the enemy, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Would you turn with me? We got to read this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Would you turn there? I want you to have your eyes on it. I got to read this so that you get it in your spirit. And I'm trusting that everyone under the sound of my voice is going to get this. In the flesh, you will not get this. You will not get this. In the spirit, you will get it. Listen what he says. Be careful to follow every commandment I'm giving you today. Okay, this is God speaking through Moses. So that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord has promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you in all the way through the desert those 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna. Would you hear? I'm going to preach on that someday. Cause them to hunger. God caused them to hunger. And then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. If a person is eating only human food, they are spiritually dead already. Can I tell you, every person out there without Christ, they're shoveling their face with physical food every day, they're already dead. They're already dead. Physically alive, yes. Spiritually, they are dead. How is it that a man was truly meant to live? When God created him, how does a man live? Here's how he lives. On every word that comes from the mouth of God. That means the word gives a man life. There is no life apart from the word. Our physical man eats physical food. Our spiritual man eats spiritual bread. The word of God. That is our food. That is our strength. That is our sustenance. That is our life-giving nourishment. You want to be weak? Don't eat. I want to say that to you today. If you are a Christian and you are not eating the word of God, you are a spiritual weakling. You ain't no Popeye. You want to be weak spiritually? Don't eat the word. You want to be dead? Don't eat the word at all. Do you know the enemy has some Christians believing they don't have to be in the Word, they don't have to pray, they don't have to go to church, they don't have to they don't have to do anything, and I can be a Christian. Really? Try not eating and drinking for 100 days and see how that works for your body. We can't live without this bread. We can't live without this Word. This Word is life. This Word is meat. This Word is health. It is strength. It is power. The Word is food from heaven. Eat it. Eat it. Eat it. I'll tell you, if Jesus were here, he would go, "I approve of this message." This morning we have just begun to look at what the enemy doesn't want you and I to know and believe. I want to encourage you, keep discovering more. I want to encourage you in your quiet time, you ask the question, "Father, what does the enemy of my soul, what does he not want me to know? Because he doesn't want me to be free. I want to know it. I want to know everything the enemy doesn't want me to know. I want to know every area of my life where I have a lie, I'm not free. Give me the truth so I can replace the L with a T and I can walk free." What if we actually began treating the Word like it is? Living, active, powerful. The power to transform me into the image of Christ by the renewing of my mind. Turn with me to Psalm 119. I'm going to end here. Psalm 119. I want to give you something when you go home to carry on from this message and look at what the enemy doesn't want you to know. I want to go back to the verse that I began today with, Psalm 119, beginning of verse 97. I want you to look at three things the enemy doesn't want you to know. First is verse 98, where he says this. He goes, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies." Can I tell you, the enemy doesn't want you to know that the Word of God will make you wiser, not just in your physical, but your spiritual enemies. The Word of God will make you wiser than the devil. He doesn't want you to know that. Look at verse 98. Verse 99. "I have more insight than all my teachers because I meditate on your word." Can you imagine going into class and saying, "Teacher?" Yes, I can, because I've done that. I've been in university where I know more because the word of God than my teacher who is teaching me evolution, or my teacher who's teaching me pagan or woke doctrine, or they were twice my age. Can I tell you, it's got nothing to do with age. Nothing. There are 15-year-olds who have the Word of God in them that are wiser than their 50 and 60-year-old teachers. The enemy doesn't want you to know that. Look at the last one, verse 100. "I have more understanding than all my elders." I have more understanding than all my elders. Can I tell you, just because someone is old does not mean they're smart. There is a pile of dumb old people. And there's a pile of wise young people. Why? Because they've hidden the word inside of them. The Holy Spirit brings them back, and they are smarter. Can I tell you, age doesn't make you old. Sorry, age doesn't make you smart. The Word of God does. We got some old people in Parliament who aren't smart. We got some old people in our courts who aren't smart. We got some old people in our community that aren't smart. And we got some old people in churches, because there is no word inside of them, they are not walking with wisdom. They are not smart. There's a generation that's being raised up today. I don't want to miss it, but there's a generation who's being raised up today who have a hunger for the Word of God. And I believe this is a generation who's going to see what's ushering in these latter days. There's a pile of things the enemy doesn't want us to know, church. I'm just beginning today. I encourage you to ask the question every day when you go into the Word. Just ask the question, "Father, There's something the enemy doesn't want me to know. I need to know it. I want to know it. There's an area in my life where I don't have freedom. I'm missing a truth. Give me the truth. Give me the truth of your word that I can resist the enemy. Tell him, it is written and he is gone, and that L is replaced with the truth. You ready for that, church? Can I just break one other lie? One other lie? I can't tell you how many men I've spoken to and they go, I just don't read. What a demonic lie. And then I go, oh, what's your hobby? Motorcycles. How do you know about motorcycles? Oh, I read those magazines all the time. I thought you don't read. No, the enemy lied to a lot of little boys growing up in school going, oh, I can't read. Boys going, oh, I can't read. Oh, I can't remember. Oh, I can't study. No, the truth is, that's a lie from the pit of hell. With the power of God, I can read. With the power of God, I can be disciplined. With the power of God, I can get up at 5 in the morning. With the power of God, I can learn. As a 50-year-old, as a 60-year-old, I can learn to read. I can learn grammar. I can learn words. Men? Ladies? There's some things the enemy doesn't want you to know. Find it out. Dana, could I have you come? I would like you to grab your Bible this morning. For those of you who use it on the phone, just grab your phone. It won't be near as intimate. But I'd like you to grab your Bible today. I'm going to ask the Lord to release a revelation over us today. The first I talked about is that we would get a revelation of what the enemy already knows. He believes it and he shudders. He shudders. That's why he works so hard at making sure the word isn't spoken, isn't shared. A revelation that this is a living, active, powerful word unlike any other on the planet. Would you stand with me and would you hold your Bible? You stand with me. Would you just bow your head? I gotta just tell you this. When I was in seminary, one of the very first classes I took, our New Testament professor, and we knew things about the seminary weren't good. One of the first things he said, if you believe that the Bible has to be the word of God, he goes, that's called bibliolatry. You've made your Bible an idol. He said, that's a sin. That's how I began my seminary. I didn't last long. Father, this morning, you told me that you were preparing every heart under the sound of my voice. I believe that. You told me that when your word goes forth, that the Holy Spirit has something to work with in the heart and mind of every person who hears it. I believe that. Today, as you have been exposing what the enemy doesn't want us to know, he knows it. He's terrified of it. As we have been exposing what the enemy doesn't want us to know, I thank you today, Holy Spirit. You have brought it to light. We know it. Now we are asking you for the empowerment to believe it. I ask today that you would release a grace over every person under the sound of my voice, a grace where we have a revelation that the Word of God, unlike any other word, it's alive. It's powerful. It's active. It has the ability to create from nothing. The ability to bring life back from the dead. The ability to create faith where there was no faith before. Father, today I release that grace over every person that today there would be revelation, there would be transformation. You would take the word of God in our life and put it at a new level. Holy Spirit, the flesh will never do this. but we trust you. Would you plant inside of us such an appetite for your word? Would you change our appetites and give us the ability to shut off all the distraction and, Father, begin to eat it, to hide it in our heart, to let it dwell inside of us richly and do what your word does. Father, your will for every one of our lives is that every area of belief inside of our mind is taken over by the truth. Every lie is exposed and the truth comes, removes the lie, and we walk in freedom because we have the mind of Christ. I release that over every person in this place. I prophetically declare that the year 2025 is a year of the greatest freedom that we have in our Christian walk. I release that in Jesus' name. I declare the Word of God has the highest place in our life that it has ever had in our Christian walk. This is the year of greatest growth, greatest maturity, and greatest power. I declare the Bible comes off the shelf. I declare it's in that quiet study place where the Spirit causes it to come alive and we are changed. Our faith is grown every time, growing from one degree, growing, growing, growing. Our faith is growing. And we're never the same again. If you're listening to me this morning and you know there's never been a time in your life where you have prayed to receive the living word, Christ, into your life as Lord and Savior, and right now the Spirit of God is just speaking, stirring inside of you, and you know that is what needs to happen, I just invite you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose again. I'm asking you now to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sin and fill me with your Spirit. Give me a hunger for your word, Father. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Church, oh, how I love the word. Can you say that with me? Oh, how I love your word. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you full of his peace and a hunger for his living word. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and every person receiving it said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday, same time.